to us priests, when we think about homilies, sometimes it gets difficult because, you know, for sure this gospel we read 3 years ago, I preached it, and it seems like I don't have any new things to say. But there is a story about having nothing to say as new. There was a parish. Parishioners were complaining about the pastor telling them, you know, preaching to them the same homily over and over again all the years, all the days. So they went to the bishop complaining that, and the bishop said, okay, we'll convene a meeting and see what happens. So they go to the meeting, and the priest is there, the, you know, the faithful, they're sitting, and, you know, one after one, you know, a few people speaking about complaining the priest giving the same homily. So the bishop, you know, asked them, he said, by the way, what was the homily about? Not one was able to say what it was about. So the bishop said, hey, pastor, you do it again. I will do it again. It's very obvious today, the gospel of the 10 lepers, that only one returns to say thank you. It's very clear if I would ask, what do you learn today? Very obvious, everybody will say, to be thankful, right? That's all we are going to say. So I have nothing to say about the gospel today. But I thought, well, I would put myself into shame as a priest, not having something to say. I found something to say. The background of the leper or leprosy in the Old Testament, the disease was like or regarded that anybody who contracted it was cursed by God. And so you have these 10 lepers in the story. From a distance, they were calling Jesus. Why from a distance? They were segregated, they were secluded, they were not allowed to participate in any communal event, getting close to anybody. They were cast out. They were outcasts. But for sure, they heard about Jesus, who would help them. And that's why we hear the story from a distance, not close to the people, crying to Jesus, Son of David, have pity on us. And he had pity on them. And so he didn't cure them instantly, but he told them, according to the prescription, what they would do, or if one would be healed from the leprosy, what they would do. Because they were outcasts, they were not allowed to participate in any public thing, especially going to the synagogue. They were not allowed to do that. And so he said, go and show yourself to the priest, which means they would go there and the priest would announce officially that these people are now cured and they can be welcomed in the community and participate in the worship. And so he tells them, go show yourself to the priest. And so they go. They know they are still, you know, lepers, but on the way they realize, wow, they are healed, they are good. So one of them was a Samaritan. What does it tell you? Well, Samaritans and Jews, they kind of, you know, mutually excommunicated themselves. They decided and agreed to be enemies anyway. But these lepers, because of the same fate, being lepers, they are together. This Samaritan and the others who were Jews, they have the same misfortune. They all need one thing, Jesus. And that's the common element which makes them friends or whatever, stay together, although Samaritans and Jews were not to mingle. They mingle. And at curing, this Samaritan comes back. The Jews don't. They go away. They don't come back. And this is a catch. And this is where we have to learn why a Samaritan would come back and the Jews not go and not come back. They went away. Taking things for granted and not being serious. Not knowing the misfortune, not knowing what we have is a blessing, and not to have what I have is a curse. Ignorance. So all those, ignorance, forgetfulness, distraction, they lead us to forget saying thank you. They lead us to forget to do what we are supposed to do. We are human beings. Today, I want us to go a little bit on the side instead of dwelling on the word thanksgiving. These 10 lepers were in need of somebody, God, Jesus. They got Jesus. He healed them. What happens after the healing? What happens after the healing? And that's what I want us to contemplate. What happens after the healing? The Jews go away, the Samaritan comes back. And that's what I want all of us to remember. We are baptized. We are called Christians. After baptism, what happens? That's the main question for all of us. What happens after baptism? We are baptized, we are configured into Christ. What happens after baptism to all of us? At some point we need Jesus and we go for it, and at some point we stray. What I want us to consider today and the grace that we need to ask Jesus is to stay focused and to stay in the realm of what baptism means. It is a lifestyle. It should be a lifestyle. It should be a need that is ongoing, and we should remember that. It is a need that is ongoing. To appreciate what we have. It's not a one point, a one moment event. It should be lifelong, life commitment. If we can remember that, our baptism, our commitment, our need of Jesus is an ongoing thing, then we cannot forget. Then we cannot forget. We will be always there. My dear brothers and sisters, we speak about prayer. We speak about prayer. And I would say, when we say prayer, what does that mean? Generally, it is raising our hearts and our minds and making ourselves present before God and thinking about God all the time. You remember about in July, a few Sundays ago, we had this reading of Jesus discussing with the scripture scholar who asked Jesus, what should I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus tells him, what do you read in the scripture? He says, you shall love your God with all heart, with all your mind, with all your, and your neighbor like yourself. And Jesus tells him, what? Do this and you shall live. Do this and you shall live. So what is to live? Or what's life? To love God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul. That's life in us. And that's what it means today when this Samaritan comes to Jesus to say, thank you. He is living the grace that he has received. It's not over. It's not over. For the others, the cure was, that's it, I'm done. That's it, I'm done. And they went for good. This Samaritan lives what it means to have Jesus. I am cured, thank you, and I need you. I love you, I want to be with you. We shouldn't forget. That's my point. We should not forget who we are. The question of saying thank you is very obvious, but what it boils down is to offer ourselves wholly, to think about God, and that prayer, thanksgiving prayer, raising our hearts, being in the presence of God, all comes together. All comes together. We don't have to say that word necessarily, but being there for Jesus, being there open to God for anything that he wants us to do, that readiness is itself saying thank you. It's a lifestyle. So I invite all of us, instead of thinking about saying thank you, rather thinking of God's grace is a continuous, is a lifestyle, is a change that we all keep holding it forever and ever. And that's our thanksgiving. Not walking away, staying in with Jesus. Amen.